Maybe this really was the day they'd go up in a blaze of glory, explode in a fiery ball of ochre, and dissipate afterwards into clouds of people dust. Chicago hoped not. Thought she'd been sent out to save everybody, not aid and abet in their deaths. But everyone knew Captain Carmody courted destruction. Even before she joined his crew, she'd heard the stories. He'd not hesitate to put the Goodall on the line if it served his purpose, and all her crew, plus that of the Horn. Why the hell had she ever signed up with him? Joan Chicago, the last surviving lieutenant from the deep space cargo ship Goodall, had all the time in the world to ponder that idea. In the 2 seconds or so it took to teleport her and Nestor from Carmody's private quarters to somewhere else, they were supposed to stop Captain Matchett from killing everyone, to foil whatever it was he had in store for the Goodall crew. At least, that was the supposition. Chicago should have been using the stretched-out time anomaly that occurred when teleporting to make a plan to save everyone. Instead, she found herself thinking about Carmody in all his incarnations. When she first boarded the Goodall, Carmody had often drawn her aside for long talks. Okay, he talked, she listened. He talked philosophy, he talked literature, he talked politics. He rambled on about history. He really rambled on about the loneliness of command. And it was during those instances she first learned to evade his casually roving hands. Not that he ever forced anything, yet always there was something in the back of those blue eyes of his that made her sad. She couldn't, she wouldn't. Mostly she wasn't ever alone with him anymore. If she heard his whispery voice in the passageways, Chicago changed direction. If for some reason he touched her, she disguised her reaction and never, ever returned the caress. She'd seen more of Carmody these last few days than the whole last 6 months of duty, and it had unsettled her. The captain sitting on his bed, struggling to wake up, his black hair tousled from sleep. A warmth in his blue eyes Chicago rarely saw anymore. Thank God he'd had that damned cat Tiberius in his arms. She'd been afraid of Carmody then, afraid she'd reach out to him instead of backing away. And then, when she'd brought her crew to safety, the captain coldly dismissing her to the attentions of those soldiers, standing for just a little longer than necessary at the entrance to the cargo bay, before limping away. So she couldn't possibly miss his point. Again with that damned cat in his arms, the cat she'd saved for him. She meant nothing to Carmody. Maybe the Goodall didn't either. Once there had been long talks about navigation, hours spent with Carmody pointing out the stars, telling her the history of the sector, drinking coffee with her, as if they were friends. He'd even instructed her in taking apart a sextant, and then in putting it back together. The bright, shiny bronze of it remained seared into her memory, as had their camaraderie. But always, always, right afterwards, had come the shunning, a sharp shove instead of a playful touch, cutting her off whenever she spoke, passing her in the corridors with no more than a cursory glance, banishing her to the bowels of the Goodall to work on beetle research. Warm blue eyes, more often cold and cutting and dismissive, and at worst, dangerously amused. Especially dangerous when combined with that slight smile he used to disarm the unwary. Chicago realized that the real question should have been, why hadn't she left? Not why had she signed up in the first place? Chicago knew the answer, even if she tried pretending otherwise. Carmody needed her. She wasn't going to abandon him. Chicago tensed, forced herself away from thoughts of Carmody and his haunted eyes. Damn it, teleportation was taking too long. It had never been this long. Something was horribly wrong. She'd been transitory for minutes, not the seconds it should have taken, and there was nothing she could do about it. Chicago and Nestor were at the mercy of Captain Carmody's alien device. All she could really do was think. Maybe Nestor was faring better, plotting the rescue of the Goodall. Odd that the captain had sent her and the tattooed twin instead of the soldiers he'd brought on board. Maybe he teleported them too, and she just didn't know about it. Chicago felt like she was trapped in one of those old-style ship coffins, 6 feet by 3 feet. She didn't know how deep they had to make it, her arms paralyzed at her sides the way they were.